My time is expensive. Just
Boys, sorry. Good morning, everyone. Rabbosai, we are continuing our discussion about Apeit Losso, about the Heter, according to the Rambam and other Rishonim, of speaking Lashon Hara or hearing Lashon Hara but Apeit Losso in front of three people, that you should then be permitted under certain circumstances to continue discussing it and to mention it to someone else as well. So there are various Tanoim involved. We've been through a few of them. One of the Tanoim is, one of the conditions is, which we haven't mentioned yet, if the person who is speaking says to the three people that he's speaking to that I don't want you to tell anybody else. So if he specified, that means that we assume that a person who gives information or tells secret, private information or tells Lashon Hara to three people, whether it's Be'issa, whether it's Be'etta, it doesn't make any difference. But if he's speaking Lashon Hara information to three people, then we assume that he assumes that this information is going to get out. That average people from time to time succumb to the issa of Lashon Hara, and therefore one person is going to tell someone else, and someone else is going to tell that person, Chavrat Chavrisle, and if you tell three people private, confidential information or Lashon Hara, then you assume that it's going to get out. Says the Chofetz Chaim, that's all true, providing that you didn't say specifically, don't tell anybody. But if the person says it to, even if he says it to three people, even if I give that private information to 20 people in the room, Afal Piken, says the Chofetz Chaim, if I told you specifically that you're not allowed, I'm telling you this in confidence, and you're not allowed to tell it further, then sometimes somebody tells me something, it's a piece of confidential information or something, and says, don't tell anybody. And I'll tell it straight away. I tell my wife. Yeah? So I have to be allowed. If you don't want me to tell my wife, then rather don't tell me the information at all. Right? But that's sort of, you know, even in my business, somebody's buying a house and I'm doing a survey for them and they say, don't tell anybody that I'm buying this house. Don't tell anybody this house is on the market. Yeah, then that information, once he said that to me, then that information has to remain what's called. So they bring down here an Orach Chaim. There's an Orach Chaim in Parshas Kedoshim on the pasuk Lo Seilech Rochel Ba'amecho. And this is a nice trivia question. Yeah, it's not trivia, it's not trivial at all. But it's a nice question, which is, when is a mitzvah osa? When is it osa to do a mitzvah? Yeah. So he brings down as follows. The Orach Chaim says, in Parshas Kedoshim, on the pasuk Lo Seilech Rochel Ba'amecho, the Orach Chaim says that there are times when a mitzvah is osa. There are times, for instance, he says, when it's a mitzvah to tell Lashon Hara. For instance, if you get asked about a shidduch, yeah, if somebody asks shidduch information in confirmation in confidence, and you then they ask the right questions, then you're mechuyev to give the right answers and to tell them information, even though it's adverse. But if it makes a difference to the shidduch and the person who's receiving it needs to know, the person who's inquiring needs to know, then you're allowed to tell it. And says similarly, Lagaba Shutfus, for instance. Lagaba Shutfus, somebody wants to know, should I go into business with someone or shouldn't I go into business with someone? Is he an honest trader or he's not an honest trader, somebody with whom I should do business? Then the question is a legitimate question, and under most circumstances, it's a mitzvah to answer. So here I've got a mitzvah to speak Lashon Hara about someone if I know that the shidduch is unsuitable, or the person has severe medical conditions that people don't know about, or that he's not an honest trader and therefore you should not go into business with him. All these people, all these situations is a mitzvah to tell, as we know. The mitzvah is the mitzvah of toyeles, and we've already learnt the halachas of toyeles, the various conditions. But if you fulfil the conditions, you have a mitzvah to tell. Says the Orach Chaim on the pasuk Ani Hashem. Then it says Leseilech Rochel Ba'amecho, and then it says Ani Hashem. He says, but if you don't trust the person who's receiving the information to keep it confidential, and you know that he's the sort of person who's likely to tell it further, then the mitzvah is no longer a mitzvah; it becomes osa. He says, if somebody asks you shidduch information, and it's his child, or who's involved in the shidduch, and you know that there is adverse information, that he needs to know, but you also know that he's going to tell it further. You also know that he can't be trusted to hold on to this confidential information, but he is going to tell it further. Says the Or HaChaim, under those circumstances, you're not allowed to tell that shidduch information. You have to say to him, I don't know. Or you have to say to him, I can't give you that information. Let him go and look somewhere else. But you can't give over that information, even though it's a mitzvah to give it to him. You can't get that information if you know that he's going to tell other people afterwards.
Started in a Torah in Northwest London, Friday, 28th of Adar Rishon, 8th of March. Rino Rav of Daniel Gladstein, Shlita, Parsha Shkot. This week started in a Torah way, Shurim, and it's not anonymous to discuss. Ashuwim, the Fayolim, Bamil Kamoy, Shiachsu, the Voltaim, the Shalom, the Nehero.
Took off the mizuzah.
Excuse me, can you move out of the way? It's so disturbing the machines. Sorry? Anybody needs Mara Mekaymes?
There are.
Yes or no?
Yes. How long is this? Alex Michalim, how are you? How long is this? Okay. Okay, good morning, everyone. Agonerv Shabbos. It's a great honor to be here. I want to share with you this morning an approach to the parshiyos of Truma, Tetzaveh, Vayakel, Pekudeh, a revolutionary approach by focusing and studying some of the ingredients that were used in the creation of the Mishkan. We're familiar that there were a number of items in the Mishkan that were almost supernatural, that dated back in time from time immemorial. Let's begin with the Briach HaTichayin. We read about it in Shuma. We read about it in this week's Parshin Vayakel. The Pasuk says, V'habriach HaTichayin b'soich HaKroshim, the middle bar, in middle of the planks, Mavriach min HaKotze al-Kotze, ran through from one end to the other. Where did the Briach HaTichayin come from? So we're familiar with what it says in Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. By the way, Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, which was not written by Rabbi Yonasan ben Uziel. It's the Achroinim call it Targum HaMeyuchas LeYonasan ben Uziel. Yonasan ben Uziel, clearly from the Gemara Megillah, only wrote Targum on Nevi'im and Ksuvim. He did not write Ala Torah. The name Targum Yonasan ben Uziel was created by the printers in order to distinguish between Talmud Yerushalmi and another version of Talmud Yerushalmi. So they called it Yonasan ben Uziel. But it's an authentic Targum. He says, V'nigra mitziyah b'goy luchayet, mishaldeish min siyav l'siyav min ilana dinitzev Avraham b've'era d'shava. Where did it come from? It came from the tree that Amram Avinu planted, he set up in Be'er Sheva to house the Orchim. So here we encounter an amazing tidbit that the Briach HaTichayin was not ordinary wood. This came all the way back from Avraham Avinu. What's interesting is this is not the only item that was used to construct the Mishkan that dated back to the Avos HaKadoshim. There was another item that came from something prepared by the Avos. We know the Mishkan was built primarily based from the Krushim. The Pasuk says, V'yasisa es hakirashim la'mishkan. Rashi's bothered. What's hakirashim? It should say, V'yasisa kirashim. What does Rashi say? Me'oisan ha'oimdin u'miyuchadim l'kach. From the special designated planks that Yaakov Avinu nota arozim b'Mitzrayim, that Yaakov Avinu planted in Mitzrayim, and when he passed away, he commanded his sons to carry these items with them. Now, why was it so important that the Mishkan be made out of krushim that were planted by Yaakov Avinu? Why did he have to be matriach his children to take his wood, schlep it out over the Yam Suf, and let them use any wood? Why did they need to use these items that were designated and prepared by the Avos? Where the Briach HaTichon came from Avram Avinu, where the Krushim came from Yaakov Avinu. So you'll ask, Nu, what about Yitzchak Avinu? Did Yitzchak Avinu have any contribution to the Beis HaMikdash? And indeed he did. The Medrash in the Yalkut Shemini says that they actually completed the construction of the Mishkan when? On Chanukah, on Chaf Hei Kislev. But the Ribbono Shel Olam said, let's wait until Rosh Chodesh Nisan for the birthday of Yitzchak Avinu to inaugurate the Mishkan. So even though technically Yitzchak Avinu did not donate to the Mishkan, but his very birth ushered in, heralded in, the ultimate inauguration of the Mishkan. So we see that the Avos HaKadoshim played a very important role in the building of the Mishkan. The question is why? What would the connection be? Why would the Mishkan have to consist of items that came from the Avos HaKadoshim? So in order to understand this question, we have to have a deeper understanding on Sefer Shemois in general. The Ramban dubs Sefer Shemois Sefer HaGeula, the Book of Redemption. And once he gives it that name, the Ramban is bothered by the following question. The Ramban is troubled, what do you mean the Book of Geula? So then the book should end after B'Shalach. Or maybe after Yisroi, because maybe Klal Yisrael did not achieve the purpose of Geula until the Torah was given. But what's Truma doing there? What's Tetzava doing there? What are all these parshiyos doing there? And the Ramban says a very important yediyah. Says Ramban, Loi nechshavu Yisrael geulim klal Yisrael were not considered redeemed until they were returned and reverted back to the maila and the madrega of the Avos HaKadoshim. Like the pasuk says, v'zeh soid eloika alei oihel. The secret of Hashem's presence on the tent. In other words, what we see from the Ramban is that Sefer Shemois brings the world back to the level that the world was on in Bereishis. In Bereishis, the world was on a certain level. That level was the Ribbono Shel Olam rested his divine presence on the tent of Avraham and Sarah, on Yitzchak and Rivka. And then because of the situation, because of the Averos of the time, the Shechina departed. The Shechina left. We're going to see, the Medrash tells us that the Shechina went Lamala, Lamala from the Shiva Rekiyim. And not until the Shechina came back on the Mishkan were Klal Yisrael considered redeemed. So therefore, says the Ramban, that Shemois does not conclude until the donating of the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan, and ultimately Sefer Shemois ends off. Ubiyois kavod Hashem malei oisai tamid. If you look in the last pasuk in Sefer Shemois, this gives us the clue to understand the entire Sefer. Sefer Shemois, we're going to read it next week. Usually Vayakel and Pekudei are together, but next week we're going to read Ki Anan Hashem al HaMishkan Yoimam Ve'esh Tia Laila Boy Le'enecha Beis Yisrael B'chom Asehem. And now, wonderful, we're back to the Madrega of the world where the Shechina rested on the tent of Avraham and Sarah. So even though technically they were redeemed in B'Shalach, the full Geula was not experienced until the end of Sefer Shemois. So let's think about that. That means the whole purpose of the Mishkan. First of all, from here we learn a tremendous principle. If you were to ask, where is the Shechina primarily? Is it in a shul? Or where should the Shechina be? Is the Shechina in the Beis HaMikdash? No, Be'ikar the Shechina was in the tent of Avraham and Sarah. The Mishkan was just an attempt to cause the Shechina to return to Klal Yisrael, similar to the way it was on the tent of Avraham and Sarah. But the Yikar Ashras HaShechina was in the tent of Tzadikim, in the tent of a Tzadik V'rei Asai. I remember when I was a Bachar, I grew up in Flatbush. You know where Flatbush is? It's in a country called New York. Yeah? And actually, the New York is the name of the continent. The country is flat, is Brooklyn. And I grew up on M and 31st. I don't know if you know Flatbush. And as a bachur, I used to walk to Rav Avigdor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And this was one of his very important themes, that the Iker Hashra'as Hashchina is in the house of a Jew more than a Beis HaKnesses. A Beis HaKnesses is just an attempt to bring the Shechina into the home. The Iker Hashra'as Hashchina is the Jewish home. The home is the main resting place of the Shechina. The purpose of the Mishkan was to bring the Shechina back the way it was on the 10th of Abraham and Sarah. So let's think for a moment. If the purpose of the Mishkan was to be a replica of the tent of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, now, says the Chikrei Lev, we understand why the Mishkan consisted of ingredients that came from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We understand why the Briach HaTichon was from the Arazim of Avraham Avinu. We understand why the Krushim were from the Netiyos of Yaakov Avinu, because the whole purpose of the Mishkan was to bring the Shechina back the way it was in the home of the Avos HaKadoshim. So you say, yeah, no, but what about the Imahos? Because the purpose of the Mishkan was to bring the Shechina back to the tent of the Avos V'Imahos. Did the Imahos have a chelek? So it's interesting, because let's think for a moment. What were some of the miraculous aspects of the Mishkan? You had the Ner Ma'aravi never extinguished. You had the bread of the Lechem Apanim that stayed fresh Mishabbos to Shabbos. You had the Anan Hashem that was Shoira on the Mishkan. Well, that wasn't the first time these miracles appeared. Rashi tells us that when Yitzchak married Rivka, it says he brought her back Ha'ayela Sara Imai. And Rashi says the Yitzchak was able to tell that this was a Mamala Makoima of his mother Sarah, because the bread stayed fresh from Shabbos to Shabbos, and the Neros were Dalak the whole week. By the way, it's interesting. You know, there's one thing women are very makbid about. This is like the biggest no-no for ladies. It's not really such a big deal, but drinking from Havdalah, right? That's like the big one of the cardinal sins for a woman, chas v'shalom, to drink from Havdalah. Now, it's important at the proper time to be able to dispel this misnomer. There is nothing wrong with a woman drinking from Havdalah. She doesn't need to, and in general, she shouldn't. But she should be aware that if need be, she absolutely can drink from the Havdalah. So for example, if for whatever reason, the husband's not around, she should make Havdalah herself and drink from it. Or if the husband was ready, Yoytze, let her make her own Havdalah and drink from. So what's this thing that ladies don't like to drink from Havdalah? So the Shla HaKadosh says, what? Right. There's a book like that, Growing a Beard from Havdalah and Other, you know, Other Witchcraft. And, you know. The reason is, the Shla HaKadosh brings down that Chava was Mavdil between Adam and Hashem, so therefore she doesn't drink. But it's not usur, it's not a halacha, it's just all things being equal, she doesn't drink from the Havdalah. But if she needs to be Yotz Havdalah, she should absolutely make it herself. But there's a sefer, Shailas Uchuvas Mishnas Sachar, of Rabbi Sachar Doiv Teichtal. And there he has a haskama from Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. And Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld says, then his opinion, the reason why women don't drink from the wine of Havdalah is because women, he says, why was it that in the tent of Sarah, the candle stayed lit from Shabbos to Shabbos? He says, women are on the Madrega that they're Dovuk to Shabbos the whole week. For a woman, her whole week is connected to Shabbos. She's either, he doesn't say this, she's either cleaning up or preparing for the next Shabbos. Women live with Shabbos. So because they're so dovuk to Shabbos, they can't bring themselves to be mavdil from Shabbos, so they refrain from drinking from the wine of Havdalah. Be it as it may, so it comes out, when we look at the Mishkan was merely a replica, a semblance of the great Shechina that existed on the tent of Avraham and Sarah, namely all those miracles that occurred in the tent of Avraham and Sarah replicated themselves in the Mishkan. So this is the approach that I saw in the Sefer Chikrei Lev. Chikrei Lev was written by Rav Aryeh Lev Haiman. He has a very interesting sefer. And again, in a nutshell, the idea is the purpose of the Mishkan is to bring the world back to the Madrega of Shechina in the tent of Abraham and Sarah. And therefore, we understand why many of the items that were donated indeed came from Abraham, from Yaakov. It was built on the birthday of Yitzchak Avinu. And many of the miracles were a replica of those miracles that took place in the tent of Abraham and Sarah. I would like to, based on this approach, take it to the next level. Because if we study carefully the items that were donated to the Mishkan, we'll notice they didn't just come from the Avos HaKadoshim, but we have a number of items that had an even more supernatural origin. Let's come to this week's parsha. Because I think it's said on the sign that we're talking about this week's parsha, right? You know, in America, I could get away with doing a different parsha because they're not so proper in America. But in England, if it says it's you're going to speak about the parsha, you have to speak about the parsha, right? That's like the law. Okay, so I'm going to do that. Don't worry. But I want everyone to be comfortable. Let's come to this week's parsha. We have a pasuk, Vahanasiyim heviu es avnei hashayham ve'es avnei hamiluim lo'efayt v'lachoshen ve'es haboisem ve'es hashamen. The Nasiyim brought the avnei shayham and the avnei miluim. So, what does this mean, the Nasiyim brought? Rashi says, literally, the Nasiyim were the ones who donated it. Rashi says that when it came to the Chanukas, when it came to donating the items, the Nasiyim said, yeah, whatever you guys don't bring, we're going to bring. They underestimated the generous spirit of the Jewish people. There's nothing left for them to bring. So what did they bring? They brought these special items, the Avnei Shayham and the Avnei Miluim. Rashi says, but that was not a proper approach. They should have come right away. And therefore, there's what letter is missing from the word Vahanasiyim?
Yud.
So perhaps it occurred to me, is there anything wrong with what the Nasiyim did? They didn't do anything wrong. They brought very expensive items. What was wrong is with what they thought, their machshava. You know, in Tikkuni Zayar, it brings the letter Yud denotes machshava. So perhaps that's the reason why they're missing the letter Yud. Otherwise, you know, you could take out any letter. Why do we take out the letter Yud? What was chasar was in their machshava. However, in the Targum, Hamayuchas, Leonis Ben Uziel, he says a different shot in Vahanasiyim Heviyu. Take a look at number 14 if you have a sheet. Says Targum Yonasam Ben Uziel, Va'anone Shemaya Ozlin Lepishayin. The clouds of heaven. Vahanasiyim doesn't mean the leaders, the princes. Nasiyim means the clouds. The clouds went to Pishayin. V'dalyon mitaman, they lifted up from there. Yas avnei vorlevas, chala. V'yas avnei ashlamusad, avnei shayham, and the avnei miluim. So in other words, the origins of the avnei shayham and the avnei miluim were clouds that came and took them from Mitzrayim. And not only, and then he continues, Pasuk Chavches, V'soivin anonei shemaya, v'ozlin legan Eden. The clouds went to the Garden of Eden. Venosvin mitaman, and they lifted from there Yas Busma Bechira, the Shemana Mishcha, Vyas Mishcha Dezesa, the Boisem, excuse me, and the Shemana Mishcha, Vyas Afarsma Dachya, and the pure Afarsamoin. So Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel says, the Shemen Lamar and the Besom Lashemana Mishcha Vlaktaris Sasamim came from none other than Gan Eden. Why did it have to come from Gan Eden? Why couldn't they go to the local convenience store? What do they have here? I don't know. Excuse my, you know, 7-Eleven. I know they don't have that over there, right?
Yeah.
Walmart? They do have it?
Similar.
Mazel tov, Baruch Hashem.
They're way in the desert.
What?
They're way in the desert.
They're in the desert.
No shops.
I mean, why do they need to come from Gan Eden? What's the yichus that these items came from Gan Eden? So now, according to Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, the Avnei Shayham and Miluim came from Mitzrayim, and the Besamim, the Shaman HaMishcha, and the Ketar Sasamim, and the Shaman Lamar came from Gan Eden. But if you look in the Sefer Gematriyos of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, he brings a medrash that the Mefarshim say we don't know his makar, that not only did the clouds bring the Shemen Lamar and the Besama Shemen HaMishcha and the Keter Sasamim, but the clouds also brought the Shemen, the Avnei Shayam and the Avnei Miluam. So it comes out very interesting that the Mishkan not only consisted of ingredients from Avraham, from Yaakov, it also consisted of number and many ingredients that came from none other than Gan Eden itself. So following, by the way, I'm going to share with you a chida, an unbelievable chida. You know, there's a small discrepancy between Truma and Vayakel. In Truma, it says, Sahav v'chesef u'nechoshes u'secheles v'argaman v'soyla ha'shani v'sheish v'izim v'oyroiselim adamim v'oyroiselashim v'aseishitim shemen lamar. What do you mean shemen? What happened to the vav? All the other donations have vavs. You ever notice that in Truma? The 15 donations, by shemen, by the word shemen, there's no vav. In Vayakel, it's v'shemen lamar. What's the pshat? Says the Chida in the Sefer Nachal Kidumim, he heard from one of his relatives, Rev Ze'evi. He says something out of this world. In Truma, it says, v'zois ha'truma, it says, v'yikhu li teruma. Me'ez kolish, asher yedvenu libay, tikhu es terumasi, my truma. And then it says, v'zois ha'truma, asher tikhu me'itam, your truma. So who's giving it? God or the Jewish people? The answer is, yesh v'yesh. Some of the things the Jewish people gave. The Jewish people gave zahav, v'chesef, u'nechoshes, Usecheles, ve'argaman, ve'soylashani, ve'sheish, ve'oyroi se'lim adim, ve'oyroi se'chashim, va'at se'ishitim. That's ve'zois ha'truma asher tikhu me'itam. Me'itam. But what's the truma see that I'm giving? That's shemen lama'ar that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave. How did the Ribbono Shel Olam gave? Go to Vayakel. In Vayakel, it's that these are the items that Vahanasiim Heviu, the clouds brought them either from Mitzrayim or from Gan Eden. That's the reason for the missing Vav. The mystery of the missing Vav has been uncovered. So you'll ask, why in Vayakel is there a Vav? So I would say, according to this Chida, it's very beautiful. In Vayakel, just listing all the items that were brought, it doesn't differentiate between Trumasi and Asher Tikhu Me'itam. So it doesn't differentiate. It does have a vav. In Truma, it breaks it up into two categories. So there's no vav. So now we're learning, not only were there unusual and supernatural ingredients from the Avos HaKadoshim, there were even ingredients from Gan Eden. So I ask you, friends, why in the world did we need items from Gan Eden to build the Mishkan? So now let's take this Ramban and bring it to the next level. Because Ramban learns that the purpose of the Mishkan was to bring the world back to the way it was on the tent of Abraham and Sarah. But let's ask ourselves, because we know the Bahag says that Bereishis is a book 1 and Shemais is book 2. That really means Shemais should be bringing the world not only back to the way it was in the tent of Abraham and Sarah, but really, it should be bringing the world back to the way it was. Began Eden Mikedem. And in fact, the Pasuk says that when the Mishkan was built, Vayehi, Biyayim, Vayehi. The Medrash says whenever you see the word Vayehi, it means something was reverted to the way it was originally. What is this referring to? Says the Medrash, if you look at number 18, Davar Shahaya Ufasak V'chayzer L'kamoy Shahaya. That originally in the beginning of creation, the Shekhinah was Shoyra B'tachtoinim Shenemar V'yishmu Es Koel Hashem Mishaleich Bagon. Friends, in your Zechus, the following idea just occurred to me. Think about the parallel. When the Koel Hashem emanated from the Kruvim, B'bein Shnei HaKruvim, it was a replica of Vayishmu es HaKoel Elohim Mishalich Bagon. You know, when we read the Pasuk, Vayishmu es HaKoel Elohim Mishalich Bagon, we just say, oh, Hashem was calling out to them. No, the state of the world was that the voice of Hashem emanated from Gan Eden in such a powerful way that the Mishkan was just a replica of that. By the way, in Shashirim Rabbah, it brings on the words Basi Lagani, that after the Shechina was in Gan Eden, because of the sin of Adam Arishain, Nistale Kashchina L'Rakia Arishain, and then because of Kayin, it went to the Rakia Sheni, and because of Bimei Enosh, it went to Shlishi, and the Dar HaMarbel went to Ravi, and the Dar HaMigdol Chamishi, Aran Shesedom Shishi, in Mitzrayim, it went up to Shvi, and then Avraham came down, and he brought it down a notch, and Yitzchak brought it down, and Yaakov brought it down, and finally, it did not return to this world until the day the Mishkan was built. So I'm very into the Chida. I feel a very close kesher with the Chida. Chida had a great-great-grandfather, Rav Avram Azulai, who he usually refers to as his grandfather. And someone actually once had the chutzpah to ask the Chida, stop calling him your grandfather. He's not your grandfather. He's your great-great-grandfather. I mean, imagine if I told my grandfather, you know, Rashi. But he is. He is my grandfather. He's probably your grandfather also. But, I mean, He's quite a few generations back. So the Chida wrote a tshuva justifying why he's allowed to refer to his great-great-grandfather as his grandfather. He brings many raya's, you're allowed to do that. The Chesed Li'Avram paints the following picture. He says, originally Adam HaRishon was put in Gan Eden. Yeah? So why did he need the rest of the world? So he says, the rest of the world he needed for his uvdin d'chol, for his mundane activities. Gan Eden was like his Beis HaMikdash, the Chesed Li'Avram says. Gan Eden was like the Beis HaMikdash of Adam HaRishon. So we're starting to get an imagery that the purpose of the Mishkan was not just to bring the world back to the way it was on the tent of Abraham and Sarah, but is to recreate the original intention of creation where the Shekhinah rested in Gan Eden. Now I want to share something with you. This alone is worth the price of admission. When Hashem chased Adam HaRishon out of Gan Eden, do you remember the pasuk? Vayigoresh es ha'adam, vayashkein mikedem Gan Eden, es ha'kruvim, and they had lad ha'misapeches, and we think, oh, these kruvim, they were these very vicious, destructive angel standing there, brandishing their sword back and forth. Okay, that's how Rashi seems to learn. But if you look in Tana D'Velio, number 23, Tana D'Velio says, "Vayashkein mikedem legan Eden es hakruvim." Mikedem doesn't mean the east. Mikedem means before. Vayashkein mikedem legan Eden melamed shehakruvim. Kadmu l'chol ma'ase bereishis. The first act of creation was the Kruvim. That's a good trivia question. What did Hashem create before Shemayim v'aretz? The Kruvim of Gan Eden. And what were those Kruvim doing? Before the world was created, you had, you know, vicious malachim waving their sword. Back to Targum Hamayuchas l'yonis ben Uziel. Look at number 22. Utirad yas Adam, Hashem chased out Adam. Min de ashri yikar shchinte, from the place that Hashem rested his shechina, min lekadmin, from the beginning of time, bein trin kruvaya, between the two kruvim in Gan Eden. According to Tam Yonis ben Uziel, these weren't destructive kruvim. Gan Eden was the Beis HaMikdash. And the Kol Hashem was Mishalich Bagan, and it rested on two Kruvim. Gan Eden was an actual Mishkan, and the Shekhinah rested there. And that's why Hashem created them before the world, because that was Hashras HaShekhinah. And then because of the sin of Adam, it went up a notch. And then the sin of Enosh went up a notch, until finally they chased Hashem out. And now we understand, it comes out very beautiful, that the building of the Mishkan was not just a restoration of the Shekhinah to the way it was on the tent of Abraham and Sarah, but it was literally bringing the world back to the way the world was in Gan Eden Mikedem. So the end of Shemais, the Parshas we read now, bring the world back to the beginning of Bereishis. That's why Bereishis and Shemais are book one and book two. Book 2 brings the world back to the way it was in the very beginning of One, it's a revolutionary understanding of the function of the Kruvim. We read these psukim and we maintain our, you know, the understanding of the Kruvim that we had, you know, when we were 6 years old. But that's not the actual meaning of the Kruvim. We should envision Gan Eden as a makom hashras hashchina. And the function of the Kruvim is that was the makom where the Shechina rested. And the Koel Hashem Mishalech Bagan was like the voice emanating Mibein Shnei HaKruvim in the Mishkan itself. And now I think we understand why it was important that the items donated to the Mishkan not only came from the Avos, but came from Gan Eden. Now we understand why V'hanasiyim Heviyu, the Avnei Shayham, and the Avnei Miluim, and the Shemen Lamar, and the Mesam and the Shemen HaMishcha, why all of these items came, Mamish, from Gan Eden itself, because that's the whole purpose of the Mishkan, to bring the world back to Gan Eden. Do you remember the Mishnah in Avos, that 10 miracles took place every day in the Beis HaMikdash? Some of them were, no woman miscarried, the meat didn't rot, there were no flies. The Chassid Yavetz, not to be confused with Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Yavetz, here, Rabbi Yaakov Emden was Yaakov ben Tzvi, Yavetz. The Chassid Yavetz is Yitain Eitza Be'es Tzara. He was one of the Gerushei Svarad. He explains that these 10 miracles were because when Hashem created the world originally, Adam Arishan in Gan Eden, there was no death, there was no decomposition, there was no degeneration, nothing. Everything was preserved. And even though that state and that existence ceased, there was one small area in the world that preserved the supernatural state of being where nothing decomposes and nothing degenerates the way the world was before the sin of Adam Arishon, and that is the Mikdash, the Chassid Yavetz says, was a little self-enclosed area where existence remained in the way it was before the sin of Adam Arishon. So again, we see this idea that the Beis HaMikdash was literally a restoration of the way things were before the sin of Adam Arishon. And now we understand the deeper meaning of the Medrash that we say at the end of Megillah Seicha, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem. The Medrash says, what do you mean, kekedem? We think it means, Hashem, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, bring things back the way they were when the Beis HaMikdash stood. No, says the Medrash. Chadesh yomenu kekedem, ka'adam harishoin began eden mikedem. Why, at the end of Eicha, when we're mourning the Beis HaMikdash, are we asking Hashem to bring things back to the way it was, in Gan Eden Mikedem? What does Adam Arishan got to do with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? But according to this approach, it's crystal clear. The whole purpose of the Mishkan and the Mikdash was to create an enclosed area in the world where the existence of Adam Arishan before the sin was preserved. So therefore we're Mespalel, Ribbono Shel Olam, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash so you could restore the world to the way it was, Mamish, B'Gan Eden Mikedem. So we read Parshiyos Vayakel Pekudei, we read about V'hanasiyim Heviyu, and we see the beautiful symmetry of Taraseinu HaKadosha, that whatever was lost from the greatness and the grandeur of Avraham and Sarah, but even more than that, whatever was lost from the very beginning of Bereishis, Bez Hashem, by the end of next week, the world reverts back to the way it was in the very beginning, and Vayikra is, so to speak, a very new beginning. That's where children start Limud HaTorah, because it's like a brand new world. B'Gan Eden Mikedem. Thank you very much. Agun Shabbos. It's a digital recorder. Thank you.
So, going back to the continent of Flatbush, in the state of New York, there was a master with a Satmar roof, and he once spent Shabbos in New York in Flatbush. And guess what? there was a Balbus there who was in fact the Balachsanya for Shabbos, and when the Sat Peruv was there, Kiyotua, his Shaloshidus was very, very long and extended and went into Motzah Shabbos very, very late. By the time he came back to his Achsanya, which was in Flatbush, he walked together with him with the entourage, and guess who was waiting for him by the doorstep? The wife of the Baal Achsanya, who was Ayidene, as they say in Yiddish. And when she came, when he came up the stairs towards her, the Satmar was standing there with his host, and she says to him, "Where have you been?" She says, "Well, I'm host of the Rebbe, and the Rebbe had the long Shaloshidus." He says, "And how did you expect me to manage a Motzah Shabbos without Avdule?" So the husband was a little preempted it, and he says, "You know, you could have made Avdule yourself." So she said, "But how can I make Avdule myself? You know that I'm going to grow a beard." So the Sat Baruch smiles, he says, "Rebbetzin," said the, "I am man, your husband is making Agdule for 40 years and so didn't help him to grow a beard. So you can make it once, nothing will happen to you live, Al Tzavuri." Sure. But since we spoke about Seder, we'll just say a short mention about Pashas Shkulim, which is what we're going to read tomorrow. V'nosni ish koif v'nafshoi, and v'nosnu, as we know, is a palindrome. Palindrome is read both ways. So you can read Venosnu forward, you can read Venosnu backwards, which essentially means that in the same way we speak about V'yikhu li terumo, which means that when you give to the Rebbein Shalom kavyuchu, then really what you're doing is taking. Venosnu also works both ways, so if you give tzduka, then of course you get it in return. It's one of the very, very few places which the Rebbein Shalom actually says you're entitled to test me. That the Indian from Stuka, a person is perfectly entitled to check it out to see whether by giving Stuka he's going to get it back, and this is in fact so. So we'll just conclude with a short thought that the parsha tomorrow is Machzis Hashekel B'Shekel HaKodesh Esrim Gairu Hashekel. The word Machzis is written with the letters Mem, Ches, Tzadik, Yid, Suf. Now, we all know that when you go on a Levaya, then they go around with the Pishke and they always repeat the same mantra. Tzuke Tatzel Memoves, Tzuke Tatzel Memoves. The mitzvah of Tzuke saves a person from Chas V'Shulam death. So if you've got the Tzadik in the middle of Machzis, right? The tzaddik in the middle of Machzis, and you've got the letters next to the tzaddik are Yud and Ches, which is Chai. And the letters which are far away from the tzaddik, which is Tuke, is Mem and Suf, which is Rachmun Litzlon Mes. So the letters which are closest to the tzaddik from Tuke are Chai. So Tuke or Machzis HaShekel is Beramus that you've got the concept that Tuke is moistened. That actually works very well with the Pusik, which says, Roidev tztuku vochesed yimtzo chaim. The person who pursues charity and good is moitzo chaim. And finally, we'll just say that since they mentioned in the Kiddur there that the Rav Kreiswirt was known towards the end of his life, that he was constantly oisik in this massive tztuk mitzvah of hachnusas kalle. And people wondered that he went from one side of the globe to the other collecting money and giving money to Yosemus to be Machnas Achnusas Kala. And apparently he was very, very ill, very sick towards the end of his life. And he went to the stipler, and the stipler told him, "If you want the skillet to stay on, then go and be oisik in this mitzvah of Achnusas Kala." And Kreiswirt looked at him and he says to him, "Why are you so surprised?" He said, "You say it every single day. And then towards the end of that Mishnah, you say, Biko Choylem, Achnusas Kalo, Levoyes Hames. So you see that there's a very interesting sequence there. Bikecholim, chmulutzdan, you've been told you've got a terminal disease. And the next part of it would be Rachmulutzlon, Levoyas Hames. So there's something which stops in between those two, and that's Mafsik in the Mishnah. It says Bikecholim, Vachnusas Kala, which intercedes between the two. So if you don't want it to follow to Levoyas Hames, Chas V'Shulam, that's the mitzvah that you should attach to. And that's what he did for the rest of his life. Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Sure. I mean, just. There you go.